Dhamma friends, dear venerable and Dhamma friends, now we are going to start another session of question and answers. As usual, we start with the written question first.
Tiruvan Sarnai.
Venerable Bhante, listening to last night's talk, could you please tell me what I need to do as I make a turn at the end of the walking meditation? I realized when I walk straight, it is easy, but at the turning point, the eyes raise and see the surrounding, and it takes a little time to refocus on the lower legs. Please advise the correct procedure on turning. Thank you.
The first and foremost thing is going prepared. You must understand when you are turning, mind is more vulnerable. It's often jumping from the sensitivity of the body or touching sensation of the earth to the eye sensitivity or ear sensitivity. Maybe due to two reasons. One thing is the touch with the body with the earth become monotonous. It is no more attractive, and therefore that is no more keeping your mind busy. Instead, due to the changing of the posture, mind change more lucrative, more juicy, more sappy objects with lot of definements. Often it happens through the eye and the ear, so that shifting takes place in the junction of this posture. So if you go prepared, you are better off. Then you have to do it in a very slow manner. Even if it is going there, in Indriya Bhavana Sutta, the Buddha mentioned, Chakkuna Rupan Diswana Nimittak Kahayyoti Nabhyanjanan Kahayyoti Yattvadikarna Metang Asangutam Virandam Uppajyati Papa Kausala Dhamma Tassa Sangraya Appajyati. Knowing that your mind is well secured and free of defilement in the touch, in the walking meditation, and while taking the mean advantage of changing the posture, the mind is tends to jump into the seeing object, hearing objects. And if you know, unless otherwise you restrain this pure stream of consciousness, which was basically with your touch sensation, will jump into the eye sensitivity or eye consciousness, and more you take details of that object, visual objects. Whatever you are bound to see, avenued into your eye faculty, you must not take in detail approach. Instead, you must understand you are more secured in the leg, in walking posture than in the seeing. So, soon you go there rather than entertaining it, seeing the details of it, seeing the different characteristics of it, your main task is to bring it back to the usual walking posture. So, first and foremost is going prepared. Second thing, you have to understand the visual object is more juicy, more sappy, more lucrative than your touch of the leg, but that is with more defilements, is more without control. So your secure gland is the leg, knowing that, bring it back as soon as possible. When such thing happens, you understand the restrainment not in the bodily and verbally, this is the restrainment regarding the mental faculty. So this is very deep adjusting of your personality or your likings and disliking, and taking the real challenge when there are two options given. One thing is more secured, more monotonous, more boring, and the other one is very attractive, very lucrative, very juicy, very sappy. How the mind is jumping, but still if you go prepared, you are better off.
Venerable Bhante, when I am doing sitting meditation on a chair, after 20 to 30 minutes, I get pain due to nerve problems. I know it has pain. As I observe the pain, it seems to intensify and I will relabel as pain and focus on breath. But the pain dominates. It takes me time to get back to the meditation. Could you please comment on meditating with pain? Thank you.
So this is kind of a wrong presentation. If you get 30 minutes before the pain happens, you must make your that 30 minutes as much as possible to be with the primary object, go as close as with that and more immediate as with that is quite enough to develop the good rapport, good relationship with the primary object. Then totally you can do away with pain. But the presentation is you love pain, you're always starting with the pain and asking question with the pain. Never mention what is your primary object. Have you ever got a chance within that early 20 minutes or 30 minutes to have a good relationship with the primary object? So this is the wrong presentation. This is the wrong way. You must never worry about these pains and thoughts and sounds. Instead, miss them within first day, second day, third day, fourth day. How much you develop the relationship with the primary object is the positive thinking. Otherwise, you are asking for pain, the whole essay is the head. No positive thinking. So therefore, please change your perspective. Whenever you have at least one chance, one round of primary object, so to say, in breath and out breath, or in breath, rising and falling, whatever it may be you are taking, at least mention about that more dearly, more happily, more in a progressive way. That is the way you can do away with this, all the pains, thoughts and sounds. But our mind is always asking problem, entertaining troubles and entertaining frustration. So definitely frustration will come. Don't talk about, don't mention about. Mention about the one thing that primary object and any progress, even split second, please mention about, go as detailed as possible and then this will be tackled. Otherwise, the whole essay is in hate. So that is kind of a torturing. Instead, select the positive way, your thesis, then you can think about the antithesis. So nothing mentioned about the primary object, so I wish to ask, either rewrite the question or now you can present your observation. What is the relationship with your primary object for the last few days? Is it increasing or you become more and more familiar or you have no any chance to go into the primary object? That's a very crucial.
Dear Venerable Thero, it is difficult for me to get concentration at meditation due to daydreaming. When it comes closer to concentration, attention goes away. By moving the thought of a non-Buddha statue, I can get back to meditation. I find getting closer to concentration. This way I can get rid of most other thoughts coming to the mind. Is this okay? And do you have any other advice? May you attain Nibbana in this life.
So if your aim is concentration, you may do. But this retreat, the main aim is not the concentration, but the mindfulness. So this is also just like the last question. Completely misusing the time, space, instructions and everything. So please make it clear, this whole effort is to be aware. It's mindfulness. If you know that your concentration is distracted basically by daydreaming, that is what you call mindfulness. It's a biggest discovery, you know, and that you take it as an enemy. I'm going to fight. Make sure, again and again, your mindfulness is reproving, reification, refying that my main thing is daydreaming. Make sure it. Don't chase behind the concentration. I mean, it is not a crime, but this retreat is well defined. And Sutta also Satipatthana, concentration is not the main thing. Main thing is mindfulness, first thing first. Then this misunderstanding or misappropriation, presentation completely run through your life, so therefore readjust, talk about the mindfulness and how much you can be with the primary object and how much natural characteristics and shapes and manners you can see, that will indicate the progress. If you, whenever you are keeping the concentration, I withdraw back because that is none of my business.
Venerable sir, yesterday afternoon and this morning, sitting meditation sessions, my sati was very strong. I observed in breath and out breath, coming in and going out through nostrils. I was able to notice start and end of both in breath and the out breath. These sessions are my first that did not open eyes until the bell sound. After a while, my breath became very smooth and fine. My mouth dried up. Body started to drift side by side, side to side. Then I lost the sensation to see start and end of in-breath and out-breath. They both become one. As I lost to see incoming and outgoing breath, I am not sure if falling of sleep. How I can assure not falling to sleep while the breath becoming smooth and fine? You may attain Nibbana in this life.
Two points, specifically toward the latter part of this, the questions arising from the latter part of this statement. One thing is, at the beginning, for a yogi, at the beginning, the contrast between the in-breath and out-breath is fairly good. At that time, you have to see in a delimited way, discrete way, this is in-breath, not out-breath, this is out-breath, not in-breath, like the difference in the shapes and the manner, or difference in the natural characteristics. Meanwhile, if you can keep the in-breath and out-breath in view with, very soon, specifically for the senior yogis, those who are familiar with the same place, same sitting and same primary object, immediately these discrete differences are going to become equal. Ultimately, you find no difference between the in-breath and out-breath. The early part where you can find the in-breath and out-breath separately called the individual characteristics of the in-breath and out-breath. When you observe in the same object, what is happening is ultimate common characters arises, individual characteristics disappears. When that happens, you can't make out in-breath from the out-breath. So your notice become completely upset. You can't separate it out. Many people, those who are not well instructed, consider this as a failure in sati, or failure in concentration, failure in one's own precepts, failure on one's own faith, and they are going to get upset about this appearance of the common character and the disappearance of the private individual characters. So when that happens, mind becomes so dizzy, mind becomes so upset, ultimately either develop doubts or uncertainty or fear. Whenever there is no way out, escapism into the slumber or sloth and torpor, kind of a sliminess of the mind. So therefore, if you go prepared, you can see the trick of the mind. If you do not go with prepared, all this become traps or pitfalls. Ultimately, you don't know where you end up. And ultimately, you interpret and give attribution completely in a wrong way. So therefore, first you have to make a mistake and then present something like in the discussion, and next day go immunized, go prepared. More and more you keep one single object in view with consecutively in time to happen. The two lobes of the same object, like the in-breath, out-breath, rising and falling, left leg and the right leg, at the beginning you can see differences or discrete delimitation, but immediately they fade off and ultimately a common character arises. So this is exactly same to the Buddha as well as for you. Only the thing is Buddha, he knows whenever you look at something continuously, it becomes boring. The boredom happens because individual characteristics disappears and the common characteristics going to happen. So this is none of your plan or your intention or your agenda, this is the nature. So Buddha found it and presented to the yogis studying at the beginning, emphasized on the primary individual characteristics. And don't expect that to be in the permanent notion. They can be changing. Individual characteristics also changing. Ultimately, it gives rise to common characteristics, like just a mere vibration, both in in-breath and out-breath. Or maybe just lightness in both in-breath and out-breath. So ultimately, you appear like losing the object, but that is not the way. It's a changing the object. Impermanent nature of the object, but if you go prepared, you can see how living Dhamma is. So, and under such circumstances, you can say the trick of the mind. Either entertain doubts or uncertainty or fear or go into the hiding or sliminess or lethargic nature because of lack of knowledge. So therefore, meditation is not 100% practical. Whenever the practical thing revealed, you must have theoretical understanding to interpret it in a proper way. If it is not happening, definitely you are misguided. But won't do any much of a permanent damage. The moment you apply the correct knowledge, whenever the practical situation happens, electrically you come to know this is what the real Dhamma means, this is the living nature of the Dhamma. So everything has to come really aligned. So therefore, next day, when you go there to make the situation very efficient, note and understand the individual characteristics of the in-breath versus out-breath. And immediately, you may observe, and if it is happening, don't resist it. Ultimately, everything will be like, both be like equal. When that happens, don't try to note. You can't. Because you can't note in-breath, out-breath as out-breath, because both of them be like equal. So when it is happening, let the meditation happen. If you wish to note, note as knowing. That's it. Earlier you have the in-breath as in-breath and out-breath as out-breath. So whatever the speed going to happen, no one can predict. When it is happening, just be aware. Knowing. And when that happens, you can see object appear in a disguised way. Mind cannot recognize it, but it is not your mistake. This is what we call impermanent notion. And when that happens, if you really can monitor and go up to that level, the person coming from the rising and falling method, the whirling person coming from the in-breath and out-breath method, person coming from the right leg, left leg method, everyone come together and meet at this stage where everything appears like a common character. Maybe a vibration, maybe a light, maybe lightness, whatever it may be. So it's a very good meditation experience. What I am trying to do is giving you enough theoretical understanding. Next time when you go armed with and be alert. While be alert on what is happening, read it in the correct view with the correct radical reflection. Then the progress will be very fast.
Venerable Bhante, I have a lot of fear in me. When I do sitting meditation, sometimes I feel the tightness in my chest. Also, a few times I wake up from sleep in the night with the same feeling of tightness. I have faith in Lord Buddha and my knowledge is basic of knowing all the impermanent and death is inevitable. My question to you as a beginner in meditation and being weak-minded is, what can I do to to overcome this fear of the unknown. I believe in devas. Is it all right at the time of fear to invoke them as a strength? Have I missed the boat in this lifetime being an older person? Please address me. I don't have the confidence to speak from the audience. I appreciate your views. Thank you.
So the fear of freedom, or fear of unknown, or neophobia is not a personal thing. Every person, so-called specifically the civilized people, are utter cowardice. They don't know how to go for the new things. So whatever someone is ready for novelty, they consider as barbaric or uncivilized or childish. So that is how you develop your own fortress. So therefore, if you know it's a fear of freedom, it's a very good advanced stage. So be prepared. No God can help. No Buddha can help. Nothing. Be aware that I am sitting. Or be aware that I am sleeping. Take your body as the reference point, and that is the whetstone to verify. Rub it against and see. Whatever it happens, the fear or the whatever thing, guardians, your relationship with the posture is the most prominent, simple, straightforward thing. So much so, you are not believing your body. That is why the fear is. You are believing Buddha, you are believing Deva, you are believing external things, so much so fear increases. The Buddha says, if you believe me, believe your body. Then that becomes your Buddha. Wherever you go, that bloody body is with you. You can't do it. Otherwise, you are in hallucination, no drug addicted or something like that. So take this bloody, Gandhi used to say, my donkey brother, Guru Sahodarya. Fellow is always with me. So whenever anything shaken, anything fearful, anything uncertain, just refer back to the body and make it a lovable thing. Make it always clean. And keep it always clean, lovable. And hate to the body is the natural characteristic of the civilized world. Always you hate, here now I am. Instead you think past is better, future is better, other places are better, other persons are better. That is because of the advertisement and the present day bloody education. It is driving you away from the present moment. So therefore, make sure everyone has the same, no, they don't know how to write it. You are the only person who can write. It is good. The fear of freedom is, it's a very, very common disease among the civilized world. And that is why people are spending so much in the annual budget of the country, America, 40% for the security. And within your day-to-day budget, so much security for your house, so much security for your car, so much security for your cell phone, so much security for your computers. And because you are living in fear, you don't know how to make use of the body. So much so, you are being taxed. So use the bloody fool, no problem. But aware, your body is the pivotal point, that is birthright, that is the Buddha call, the olarika attapatilaba. This is something tangible, and it is, according to the beliefs of the Buddha, to the past good karma. So therefore, anything happen, take this as a pivotal point. Whenever you are not in fear, whenever you are in the fear, whenever you have any daydreaming, fantasizing, everywhere, when and where possible, refer back to the body. Ultimately, that has to become your best friend.
I struggle with the bumping at night when I get up from sleep. During the day, I have control. And this has only happened in this retreat. Yeah, I get
fear and pain. When you are in meditation, this is my amplifying, because you are more and more reaching to the new areas, unknown places. In your mind, you are making a tunnel to the subconscious, an unknown area. So therefore, you must be a risk lover, or you must be like a girl guide or boy scout, and be ready for the new area, otherwise no progress. So simply you can say, whatever you know, within that area, no nibbana.
Sorry, lost me.
Whatever you know, within that domain, Nibbana is not. You have to go beyond.
Because as a child, I mean, you used to pray for different gods.
Never mind. That is also coming out of the fearful mind, not from the healthy mind. It is our cavities. There is a fearful mind always give bankrupted formulas. The only thing is be aware, touch your body and be with that.
So when I get up in the night, like during the day I can touch the body.
And but the night also body is with you.
Yeah, but I get up from my sleep with that pulsing.
Yeah, that is true. That is by that time it is too late. But later you will come to know how to get the contact with the body before go up to that kind of aggressive situation. Slowly, slowly it is working negatively. So the first day when you are getting, you will be sweating and all the shivering and all the kind of, but still you try to come back to your body, be here and now. And next day when it is happening, before go up to that much of uncontrollable situation, your memory or your habit will tell you, why don't you go back to here and now?
Here and now means I get up in the night, just sit and...
Whatever may be your posture.
Because usually I'm up the whole night because of the fear of going back to sleep.
Yeah. So that means in the meditation, it is aggravating. Because mind is going to more and more unknown shape areas. The more and more neurobics are working. The brain system... Nervous system, unknown circuits are going to work. So therefore, each and everyone is a threat for a fearful person. That's a sick mind. And for others, it's an advancement. It's adventurous. So the faith is one thing. The precepts what you are holding is second thing. Third one is the memory, the sati. You have to be aware here, now I am. Whenever you have fear, bring the mind for a split second to the here now, it may be different, difficult unless otherwise you train it. Because mind is take refuge of the God and the Buddha and the external thing. That is the nature of the sick mind. But what the Buddha says is, bring it home, back home. Bringing it home means, here now I am. And in the daytime, you can check it. When and where the mind is here, now I am. No room for fear. It is something very vibrant.
What was the fun too? These adventurous things.
I mean,
as a younger person, people are game to do these adventurous things, but I feel that fear has overtaken me. And with age, having progressed in age.
So I don't see any relationship with the age or sex or day or night. The fear of freedom is kind of a psychological phobia in our mind. That's why people are always try to live in their own house, together with their own friends, their own habits, and that they consider as the comfort zone. But the Buddha, he quit and went out of the palace and went to the forest and went to the people unknown, but still he found, as far as he knows, I can be here and now I am, wherever I go, that becomes my home. So that is the absolute answer. Within that may be a lot of magics and healings and can do. And sometimes they are helpful, but not a permanent answer. So therefore, whenever you have no fear, whenever you have the normal atmosphere, check the point where, when and where you become here and I am, there's no room for fear. More you be in the present moment, longer the time, more verifiable you, not only the fear, no desire, no ignorance can happen. So that you have to season your mind and train your mind whenever there is no fear, and copy the same thing in the whenever the fear happens. Don't worry about the external sources, just try to be here now I am, and then for the momentum of the fear will be broken, but by each and every split second you refer back to here now I am. And instead, if you have kind of a friendship with yourself, you become, the body become your best friend, the easier the way you can rectify the fear.
What do you mean body becomes a best friend?
So don't believe anything outside that. Any knowledge, any money, any fear, any fame, everything is at long, it become a debit.
And so habit, I automatically go to one of the devas. How do I overcome that?
You can see, with compare with the here now I am and the devas, the relationship, you can test it and verify. Don't throw away without verifying. You have an alternative, verify it, ultimately you may find more short, more simple, more straightforward method.
Most Venerable Swami answers, I am a yogi practicing Anapanasati meditation for over 10 years. During sitting meditation, especially in a retreat environment, the breath settles very quickly. Sometimes within 2 to 3 breaths, not allowing time to experience long or short breaths. Then the sanya, like a perception, start tearing out incessantly. As if I am in a dreamlike state. After some time, these stop abruptly. And I experience the pure, unadulterated mind, which I feel is devoid of pleasure. Then the mind enters a vast, soundless, motionless place. Within brackets, though this fact is my experience once I emerge from it. During a previous retreat, you advised to awaken into this space. Sometimes I am able to do it and feel same activity within. But on the other times, just nothingness. These states can happen several times during a sitting. Now I am able to treat both these states within better perception and perception-free states equally, as I have realized they are the side of the same coin. There are other times that my mind withdraws into a deep, tranquil place. While doing day-to-day activities, even while speaking, as there are two minds within me. The one that withdraws feel like a thought is going into shell, while the uppermost mind doing the daily work. This is a very tranquil experience, unlike the above mentioned perceptionless state, where I do not feel the same contentment. I have several questions. They are as follows. Question 1. As I enter this perceptionless state through Anapanasati, within brackets, through occasionally, through walking meditation, which section in the Satipatthana Sutta that this relates to? Is this Chittanupassana? Question 2. What happened to the consciousness in this perceptionless state? Question 3. The episodes of one mind entering the tranquil state, is this similar to the mind entering the perceptionless state or different? Why is this happening? May you attain your supreme goal.
So if you are comparing the situation from the getting rid of suffering, very easy to answer all the three questions. What is the state where you have the most stress? What is the state you don't have? You have the least amount of stress. What is the state you have? The tension. What is the state you have? You don't have the tension. So when comparing that, first and foremost, you must have the sansaric suffering. And you must understand that's the cause in nature. And now when you are practicing, different episodes are happening. First, what is happening is, you are slowly, slowly going away from the materiality. That means in the meditator, for example, person who is taking the Anapanasati, Anapanasati becoming less and less. But still you see you are living, still you see you are awake, still you see you are not unconscious. So then mind can take either perceptions, feeling or volitional activities according to character trait. Some people start to feel feelings. Once the breath reduces, that is what after the Kayanapasana, Vedanapasana come into being. But not necessarily it's so for the people who have more tendency to the perception, they start perception. Some people, volitional activities, willful activities, according to three character traits. So you have to understand who am I from the mental aspect is concerned, when and where the material diseases to exist. Either one or the other thing will start. Feeling, perception, or volition. You calm and quiet, you have to understand who am I. And when it is happening, just as what was your relationship with the materiality, knowing that, let it play. And as far as you are not interfering, that is also ceases to exist. And that is also not happening in the one single state. It's number of episodes, each and every time, you have to understand the your progress with respect to the stress, with respect to the tension. So you can't measure whether you are in a stress or not if you are in a result-oriented mode. Always it is a stress. Therefore, to understand, even if you are a result-oriented person, let it happen thousands at one time, that is what you call the experience. When then more and more that happens, you see, just being is going to give the endowment, your endowment, the lack of tension or lack of frustration with time. Otherwise, our mind itself, in terms of result-oriented calculation, make turmoils in a turbulent water. For them, the best answer is, let it happen again and again. When it is happening, you can understand with the perception or no perception which one is going to give the higher solace, higher oasis, or higher less friction, higher comfort zone, higher area where no frustration and tension. So understanding is, it is not very difficult with the rational mind. The answer for the Buddha, from the Buddha is, if you don't care whether it's a perception or not, or if you are otherwise indifference, or equipoise mind to the both, there is no chance to develop tension. That's a point where the Mara get amused. It can't play its trick. So therefore, as far as you are going to say, this is better or this is better or which one is better, that means therefore you are fertilizing to the tension, fertilizing to the frustration. So simply, two ways I would like to suggest. One thing is, with time, may not be immediately, you can see the reduction of tension and frustration. The other thing is, you are on the correct path, but you are rushing too much, and instead you have to do is have this same thing experienced 1001 times. And with this maturity, or matter of, it's a matter of time, slowly, slowly you can see this tension is slowing down or dissolving off or merging into this universe, and you have nothing to worry because there is a place telling, I am worried, but in compared to the past, if it is reducing, that worry will be there without claiming, I am worried. Worry is worry. So now your mind is very happy to recognize with that kind of worry, that is what you call sadistic and masochist. You prefer suffering. You want to have friction. So let that bloody foolishness to dissolve itself by not claiming, that is called disavow or disclaim. That can happen only through exposing to it, experiencing it 1001 times, so you never claim that worry as me. Worry is there. You can't do away with that, but only you can do is, you can disclaim it. You can dissolve it, and it is not escapism. It's a valid method the Buddha has given, so therefore reduce up to the bare minimum and discard it. So instead of asking, answering one or the other, answering means fertilizing the tension. So this is the way I would like to handle the question.
Venerable Bhante, I tried practicing walking meditation by keeping my mind on the movement of left foot and right foot. I can continue doing so for several steps, in brackets about 20, in both directions. Sometimes I feel like pushing the ground backwards without moving forward while changing my feet. That is something similar to what you experience on a treadmill. Am I doing the correct thing? Please advise.
So these are the manners, different manners when you are observing the one particular object, different shapes and different manners going to happen. So when it's walking, you may see you are striving through the permanent ground, and sometimes you feel you are there, ground is moving. These are the all perceptions you can happen. Don't accept anything or don't reject anything. This is called akara panyati or modes. Different modes can happen. So you are not enough. You have experienced not enough. That is why it become only two. There may be a lot of things. And so, for example, when I was in the grade 6 or 7, one day our class teacher was stood there. So therefore, principal came to the class. Otherwise, we are making noise. Then he, our school is very remote place. He asked, what is the most fast vehicle you have taken a trip, ridden? And at that time, 60 miles per hour is fairly a good one. But in our roads, you can't expect that. So some people came from Colombo and they have gone in the 60 miles per hour. And so after asking that, he told, do you know we are moving 1,000 miles per hour on the earth, whether you don't know or not? It's 25,000 miles. Within 24 hours, we are rotating. We don't know. We think world is firm. And on that only we are calculating 45 miles, 60 miles. But world is turning so much fast that we consider world as steady. And you won't believe there's one society in UK, they believe the world is flat. They give membership only for the fools, those who believe the world is flat. They don't accept that it's wrong. They don't accept this movie. So this is the perception. And in the walking meditation, you see you are in a treadmill. Treadmill is pulling and you are just like a squirrel in the squirrel, this thing. They are rotating. So which one we don't know. We think sun is permanent and we are moving. And the Buddha says sun and the moon also moving. So then where is the reference point? But we are always with the permanent notion. We want to make our parents are permanent, our bank is permanent, our insurance company is permanent, our government is permanent, the earth is permanent. Upon that only we trust. But ultimately they are also not so. So therefore in walking meditation, keep them open, don't arrive at anything. Only you have to understand your mind is yet to explore more and more. So when it is going there, you find like floating. You are not very, you're very fixed, like being driven into the earth. You can play with all the notions, and mind will be just like a child. Everything appear very green for a child. No one knows, and he do not know which one is which. Everything is happy, very good. So you also will be like a child if you know the foolish game of this perception. So this is just one window opening to understand the akara panyati or manners, different manners. Or let that explore more and more into, and you will understand when and where your attention is inwardly. there's a huge amount of areas you to understand. Let it happen in a slow manner, don't rush.
But then, there's a second question as well. It is a bit hard to find my breath when doing sitting meditation, using in-breath and out-breath. If the breath is found, it can be taken into a very clear state, similar to a glassy state. The only difference I can feel in between the in-breath and out-breath is the air gushing direction, inwards and outwards. My problem is with the random thoughts. Almost all the time, I try to sit down and be mindful. Thousands of thoughts, within brackets, past experiences, future planning, etc., come from nowhere and disturb my breath. I can still go to the previously explained clear state whenever I realize my mind is roaming away from my breath. Please advise me how to improve my meditation. May the people bless you.
So that can be presented as you can have views side by side, or one thing deeper than the other. So likewise, your thinking mind, maybe the outer surface and internal, the calm mind is there. So our defilements and our defiled mind is always asking for activity. It's never happy with calmness. Calmness happy like boredom. It happy like monotonous, happy like uncertain, doubtful. But whenever the action happens, the mind try to take mean advantage of it, capitalizing it. So therefore, when and where the mind can see through, outermost layer is very, very active. Just like frills and waves in the lake. But if you can see through, and internally, more and more you go deep, this water is not much disturbed, but no dramatic, not eventful. So it is very happy with the superficial. And what is the way that I am trying to paint the picture? The thoughts are in the superficial level. They are wobbling and they are having frills and thrills. And internally, due to your occasional meditation, you can see through. And when you see through, the calmness is there. And that has not been selected. Often you select this disturbed mind because your selection is happening through the disturbed mind. So therefore, your endowment, your possibility, your potential is to have both. But what you select, that you are. What you see, that you are. Wherever you go, there you are. So, if you, without judgmental, arriving at a decision, suspended attention, if you let it happen, natural, with the conclusion you can do is, our mind is very happy with activities. That's a point where you can capitalize and you can make out yourself from the others. So when and where it is go deep and the calmness, unless otherwise it is well trained, it can appear like very boring, very monotonous and self-negating, destructive, nihilistic, eventless, not dramatic. Go to the meditation with that kind of idea and see who is the master and who is the slave. And then you can understand what a trip the Buddha has gone and what a way he is explaining it by giving little experience and you to decide. Buddha never take the decision. He give the criterions, the ways, but our defiled mind, untrained mind always take what is not beneficial, what is torturing, what is burning, is being selected first. That does not indicate that calmness is not available. It is available. You are not selecting till your karmic forces are finished, till your crafty mind is going, till your desire, the rational mind ceases to exist. Always select the activity. But you have the endowments, the potential, vibhava shakti, to see that very seeing, midst of all random thinking, there's a calmness, it's a kind of a going against the grain. So try again and again with this theory understanding behind your mind, and then you will see one day you are the person to decide, no second person involved.
Venerable Bhante, recently I have been reckless and the beginning of the retreat. However, by Saturday evening, I started observing in-breath and out-breath with more clarity and started observing detailed characteristics of the breathing cycle, as explained by Bhante. My mind concentration has been reasonably good. By Monday, I have started observing the rubbing sensation at the tip of my nose as well. Today morning, I feel that I observe more on rubbing sensation and less on detailed characteristics of the breathing cycle. Also, I feel that there's a small break in the middle of the in-breath in addition to the breath in between in-breath and out-breath. In other words, I feel three rubbing occurrences in a breathing cycle. Question: am I doing the correct thing? Or should I concentrate more on detailed characteristics of the breathing cycle as I did at the beginning? May you attain nirvana in the very life.
So this is the mixed up between the individual characteristics and the common characteristics. So at the beginning, as far as individual characteristics are there, observable, look at it, while it is happening, the common characters are happening, just a vibration, both in-breath and out-breath, both the beginning, the middle and the end. When and where the common characters arises, you must know the art of how to facilitate it. It's a very difficult thing. It's very difficult to teach. It is very difficult to write in a technical writing. Supposing that when you are driving a car, when the car comes to a proper momentum, when to change from the first gear to the second gear, you can't write the technical writing. You have to train by the experience, the gradient, the amount of load you have, and the speed you have, and all the kind of thing has to synchronize. Then only you can change from the one gear to the second to the third. Likewise, when the individual characteristics are done its job, slowly giving rise to the, give ways to the permanent common characteristics, very difficult to say someone, unless otherwise you have your trial and error method, you have your own observation, your own experience, then only one day you will understand. Up to the individual characteristic, noting is there. Once the individual characteristics are going to give rise to the common characteristic, you must slow down noting and let the meditation to happen. Or in other words, you are putting the machine into autopiloting. And again, if it has become unruly, again you have to, whenever the individual characteristics happen, you have to take the control into your hand and start maneuvering. And whenever it is going to the common characteristic, you give the machine or give the autopiloting happening. So this is the way you try to understand, to let things happen without your egotistic involvement. Let the thing happen without your conceit involved. Let the thing happen without your desire to happen. So you must not rush into that also. But whenever it is happening, if you are not employing and implementing or facilitating, again, you are mixing up the situation. So that cannot be taught as a geography or physics or chemistry like in a classroom. This you have to do it within yourself. But universally, it is the same. But you have to do so. It's a very good cross-section. Sometimes you see in details. The term used is detail. Sometimes you see the common. In-breath, out-breath is equal. Rising and falling is equal. Sometimes walking meditation and sitting meditation is equal. So whenever the common characteristics happen, the boredom is the main feature. The monotony, uncertainty, fear, doubts. So, 1001 time when you go there, specifically armed with the theoretical understanding, then one day you will know how to embark into this. That's your individual characteristics, the common characteristics. So, then you will be the master in your language. You never believe. This is the point where we lose our communication. We don't know whether we are talking the common characteristic or individual characteristic. Other person also do not know tail or head. We are talking, nothing happens. So when and where it is coming to the proper communication, the teacher and the disciple, doctor and the patient, the parents and the children, they know the subject you are talking. Otherwise, you have complete miscommunication. So therefore, shut your mouth up and observe more and more. Then you will understand what is happening and what your mind is interpreting is completely in chaotic situation. So it's a very good, it's a best time in the meditation. It's the best transition in the meditation. You must let it happen in the very calm and quiet, take in time and let it happen. Once it is understood, no one can erase it from you until you come to the Nibbana. Just like see the Dhamma, just like see Buddha. So don't try to accelerate it. Don't try to be smart also. And then slowly, slowly it will absorb into you. And then you can listen to the one when the people are talking. What a bullshit. Nonsense. They don't know. So can't tell what to do. That's the place I was. So it is not a personal mistake. It's a whole, even though we are in the IT technology maximum, the world is at chaos. Not only that, your internal, external communication, good and the bad, do's and don'ts, everything is in a jam. But I would say still, it's a very sappy, very juicy part in your meditation. Please let it happen in natural course without any much of interference, and then it will unfold naturally.